It's good to be here. It was a tight schedule. We had a meeting in Valley City that day, but I made it, and the panel went well, so it all is good.
I thought the panel went really well. The discussion was Common Core. The only thing I would have argued is we could have had the panel fine without experts from anywhere other than in North Dakota.
I would agree with that, and I think that, you know, they did, the two national experts, you know, added their perspective from a national perspective, and the chamber obviously was hosting it, and so they had their representative there. But I think we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of value in what we say about education in North Dakota just among ourselves.
I think the superintendent of the Bismarck Public School Systems is a rock star.
She sure is. She is. She is absolutely committed to kids. It doesn't take you more than 15 seconds to visit with her to say you're going to hear it from her straight. And she's going to tell you how it is, and she's going to put kids first.
You know it when there was, and I don't want to talk about the controversy because it's dealt with and everybody paid their price for it. But there was a controversy in the Bismarck School District right away after she got there. I called her and I said, you know, and right away she said, yeah, I'll come on. I'll address it. And she came on and she said, well, here's what we're going to do. Boom, done.
That's it.
And I was like, oh my God, if you're a school board member, that's the person you're looking for to do this.
That is. And, you know, I think they did a really, really good job when they hired Tamara. And she has, that's what you see is what you get with her. And she's had some tough, tough decisions to make. And she's had busy years. When she first came to Bismarck, there was, you know, population explosion. She's built three new schools and she's raised the test scores and she's really gotten kids learning. So she is a rock star.
Do you still serve on the Mandan School Board?
I don't. My term expired June of 2013. So it's been about a year.
Do you miss it?
A lot. Every day.
I've never heard anybody get off a school board that said they missed it before.
Every day. Every day.
Really?
To have that impact.
Mm-hmm. I've always said that was the toughest local elected position. That in county commission, I have tremendous respect for because I just think that those are the ones that put you on the front lines.
They do, but that's the value of it, too. That's the reward in it. It's like you can see those decisions immediately impact those kids in your community.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the upcoming school year. That's why we wanted you to come in here. First off, you have some of your school districts already conducting school.
We did.
Is that too early?
Well, you know, I think what works for that local community, they decide, they set their own calendar. And, you know, I've heard really good stories. Actually, it's in southeast North Dakota. I got a call from a reporter from a weekly newspaper asking me the question about, you know, how would this impact? And they have a really great effort that goes on. What they do is they work with their county fair board. And they find out when school starts, and then the fair is kind of planned around that. The Friday and Saturday, they have their traditional fair events. And then Sunday is always the Sunday before the week school starts, and they have a celebration of education and a celebration of kids. And I thought that's a great community effort. And if we would move that back to a later starter date, it would kind of take that opportunity of that single community away from them. So that's why I really believe in local control.
Here's how I know that I was wrong on this. Because last year when Napoleon and these others did this, I said, that's just too early. That's just too early. And then we did have some heat issues. Remember last year?
They
started canceling school because of heat, which was to me was another indicator. But it's gone on for a year now. These people elect the school board. Let's use Napoleon as the example. So they elect the school board, and the school does it again the next year. So what that tells me is the parents didn't get mad, the kids didn't get mad, the school board, you know, obviously. So when you say local control, I guess I understand it. You know, that they're doing what they want to do, or else they would have corrected it after the first year.
That's exactly right. And I wish out of this whole issue, I wish the message could get out how much of an impact people really do have on their locally elected leaders. So having served on the school board for 9 years, I'm telling you, if I would have had, you know, two, three calls, if I'd have had one call about our calendar and my eight other fellow board members would have had a call about the school calendar and reconsidering when our start date was, we definitely would have sat up and listened, as we did on many issues.
But if there's any area, Kirsten, that okay, Napoleon, when I think Napoleon, I think they're putting up hay right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think of. I think that you still raise some wheat out there. You know, so you need it in the combine, you need it in the truck, hauling it back to the grain bin, you're putting up hay. You've always got cattle issues. You've got all of those issues. And I think of the young men and women and how hard they work in that area. And then I think, if they don't care if they're back to school now, what business in the world is it of mine? Which means that when it comes to this initiated measure that school has to start after Labor Day, it's not going to get my vote.
I think, you know, I do appreciate the fact that we can have the opportunity to put a issue on the ballot so we can each cast our vote and, you know, our opinion with a vote. But I really do believe in local control, and you're right. If Napoleon wants to change, actually this year, Napoleon started a couple weeks ago already. This is their second week of school already. Right. And so the people of that community have every right to start when they want. And I just don't believe in a one size fits all for every community.
Let me talk to you about the upcoming year, because every year, if you're an educator, you should set goals for yourself. What goals have you as the chief educator in the state set for yourself going into this year?
That's a really good question, and that's true. Continuous improvement is what school and education is all about. What I want to do at the department, and it's been my goal every year, and I've been more specific about it this year, but we really need to transform the department into a less regulatory agency and an agency that really is a customer service oriented and based agencies. So we allow opportunity rather than check the list, are you meeting the letter of the law, to provide opportunities for our innovative school leaders out there to say, you know what, I think this will work better for our kids. How can we make that work within state law, within federal law? And so that's, we're spending a lot of time at the department looking at ways that we might be able to be more flexible within the letter of the law to allow our school leaders and teachers to be more flexible.
When I look at North Dakota schools, you know, you look at some of the reports and you've had the courage, and I've seen you do this, to say that not all is great. And I have in my news briefs today where the national average on ACT, we fall below that average. You know, we don't think of that. We think that we're the best public school system in the world. But the truth of the matter is, there's improvement here that could be made.
Absolutely. And until we have 100% of our kids achieving at the level that they can, then we can't stop looking at what can be better. And you're right, the ACT scores just did come out, and our average is 20.6. And so,
by the way, I got better in that when I took it.
That's
big
good.
Day for me.
I'm impressed,
of the first tests,
Joel.
I probably did really well on.
I'm impressed. You know, it should be noted that there are only 12 states like North Dakota that have 100% of their students take the test, the ACT test. And so that does put us in a bit of a different category. So just 12 states. And of those 12 states, we're third. Utah had an average of 20.8. Illinois had an average of 20.7, and then we came in tied with Colorado at 20.6.
That's an important factor, though.
It is, very important.
Because that means that there's a lot of people. There were people that received high school diplomas that some of us were left scratching our heads saying, you know, should they have ever received a high school diploma? And if they were forced to take the ACT, there's no way they help the average.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay.
And that's true. So it really does. When you put 100% of your kids in, and some of those are ELL kids, you know, new, you know, first generation Americans. So we have to take that into account.
Not everyone knows what the ACT is. So Describe it to them.
Sure. It's a test that is given annually to our 11th graders, and it measures English composition. It measures mathematics, including college algebra, and it measures science. And
okay.
So you get a score. So you get a composite score.
Things that you're going to need for the rest of your life.
Regardless of whether you're choosing a skilled occupation, a career, or a university level college, you're going to need those things.
Okay, stick around. I have more for you. Welcome back to News and Views. Kirsten Baszler is with us. She is superintendent of public instruction for the state of North Dakota, which makes her one of those people that you straightened up in your chair when you came into the school. We're talking about goals going into this year. You had some more you wanted to mention.
I do. I have four more. First one, student cabinet. I need to create a student cabinet before the legislature starts. I want middle school, elementary, high school, and first year college students to come together, advise me on policy. And
can they apply, or how are you going to do this?
There'll be an application system. Okay. And I don't want just high flyers. I want those kids that are struggling, that maybe it didn't work the first time around. How can we do better? How can we engage? And, of course, those community college, research university, and regional university students as well to say, you know, looking back, what can we do better? But I need those middle school kids, too, to say, this is what I want, and this is what we can do. So too often we talk about kids, and we don't talk to kids, and that's what we need to do. Other is we need to have more emphasis on CTE classes. CTE is an underrated, underappreciated program.
Tell them what that is.
Career and technical education. And it is not our career and technical education, or VOEG as we knew it back in the 70s and 80s. This is great stuff, and it really is making huge gains for our kids in math and reading, for some kids that just weren't performing or weren't achieving the way they could.
But they got great careers because they did this.
They did, and they still do. And really, in North Dakota, with our economy right now, we've got to start to value those programs at Wahpeton, Bismarck State College, Bottineau.
About 10 years ago, we had to.
Exactly. So that's a big push of mine. We also need to improve and increase the amount of AP classes that we're offering our kids. We, you know, when we talk about where we can improve, right now, North Dakota is 50th in the nation in the number of AP exams that are
AP.
Taken. Advanced placement. Sorry.
So you sound like you're from the FDR administration. That's why I'm trying. I knew what you meant. You knew I knew that, but I was like, a lot of people don't get that.
Advanced placement. Yep. So they have advanced classes in math and English and science and history and all sorts of things. So we need to improve those offerings. We're doing okay in our larger cities and our Fargo's, Bismarck's and Grand Forks's, but when you get to those outlying areas where they don't have that opportunity in this day and age of virtual learning and online learning, there's no reason that it should matter where you're going to school in North Dakota. Your offerings should be the same. So working hard, we'll improve that, we'll increase that. And then finally, early childhood education. We've got to move the needle on early childhood education.
Time to mandate Head Start?
No, I don't want to mandate anything, but I think right now we have over 75% of our kids that are our four-year-olds that are in daycare. Let's just make sure that when they're at a daycare setting or at a place that they have that the environment that's really learning rich, and can we come together as a community to provide some resources?
Is there any evidence where a community like Fargo that embraced Head Start, and you look at what those kids go into the first grade like versus other communities where they didn't have Head Start, though, is there data that shows that, look, do Head Start?
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're talking Head Start, when we talk about early learning, we talk about daycares or daycare centers that are providing teachers and education. We're talking Head Start. We're talking public pre-K. And we have the data, and we're building it this year. We've got some really, really good data, and we'll build it each year. There was a report that came out a few years ago that talked about the benefits of Head Start leveled off at third grade. But what most people didn't, what the headlines didn't tell, or the unless you read further into the story, when they compared the groups, it was Head Start, and it was the other students, they weren't a true control group. They were students that were in some other type of pre-K.
Okay.
And so that's the
I want to share
story.
This email. This wasn't a subject that I asked you to come on for today, but I think it's important to bring out because I got this sense from a lot of people in the room. Number one, this individual says, I'm from Bismarck, and I love Tamara Uselman. So she agrees with us on the Bismarck School Superintendent. Number two says, I was at the Common Core panel, and my biggest takeaway was this. Every single time the Stop Common Core people were asked for just one standard, which they disagreed, they couldn't do it. How can we ever have a real debate about the improvements that could potentially be made to these standards if not one argument they have is based on fact? I sense that too. Every time I said, give me an example, Kirsten, they couldn't.
I really hope that now we can change the conversation about what is it in the standards that we want to talk about, because there's no set of standards that's perfect.
When did the word systemic become bad?
I don't know.
I mean, it was like, that was the catchphrase for being a Tea Party member that day. Systemic. All right. Well, good to visit with you. Have a great school year. Doug Burgum, when we come back. She loved Jackie.